You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey, everybody, it's Ken Davenport, and I wanted to say thank you for listening to the Producer's Perspective podcast. You're now listening to a special mini-series, the Producer's Perspective podcast, live from the pandemic. These are recordings directly from the Facebook Live series I started during the coronavirus pandemic, where every single night I interviewed a Broadway luminary and chatted about what they were going through, how they were dealing with it, and what they expected Broadway and theater to look like when it was all over. So join us for this very special episode of the Producer's Perspective podcast, live from the pandemic.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Please welcome to the live stream, Mr. Jordan Fisher. Welcome, Jordan.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for having me, Ken. I appreciate it.
Of course. Look, first thing I have to ask you is, can you see these comments?
Yeah, it's the love.
Does this happen wherever you go? Love.
Man, listen, I'm glad it's that than anything else. You know, it's funny because in the comments, in the live comments, I see a lot of familiar names. I stream on Twitch every day from 7 a.m. until 3 p.m. And there are a lot of names in these comments here that look very familiar to me. So it's good. It's good to see the love. It means a lot.
It's amazing. So Twitch, just so this 47-year-old dude understands this correctly, this could be about you explaining Twitch to me. Twitch is a video game streaming. Is that what this is for the most part?
Yes and no, for the most part. It's a streaming platform, right? There are a handful of these, right? You can go live on YouTube. You can go live on Facebook. You can go live on all sorts of different things. Twitch is, I would say, probably the most fleshed out in terms of what content you're looking for every day.
Every day from what hour to what hour?
7 a.m. until 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's West Coast time.
You're streaming for that entire 8-hour period.
8 hours, yeah.
It's a job.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great.
What are you streaming? play, video, everything?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. So I typically start my streams off with a just chatting portion. So for, you know, half an hour, an hour, just kind of, it kind of depends on the flow of conversation and whatnot. I'll just chat with my community. We'll watch videos together. I fully believed and have for a very long time that gaming, you know, and content creation in a live way is, I mean, yes, it's probably a newer form of entertainment to a lot of people. It's been a thing for about 9 years. Now people have an opportunity to pursue their dream and pursue their passion in terms of creating content every day.
How do you think, because now you're obviously a big theater fan as well. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
How do you think this affects how your generation of theater makers, like what are you going to create tomorrow? You are not going to write, like your generation of theater makers is not going to write like Chekhov plays. What do you think theater for the video game generation looks like 10, 20 years from now?
That's a really great question. I mean, I think that we could probably dilute this down to a handful of different points. I would think that the main point where generating art in real time is concerned is that it's, you know, where tangibility is. Let's use Twitch for example. There's nothing like, you know, sitting down in the comfort of your home, you know, laying down in your bed with your phone out or whatever, being able to connect with somebody in real time. Now, the conversations and the flow of conversations, that obviously varies. Creator by creator, we could talk all sorts of different ways about like what this person is doing for art and creating art in real time. We could talk about all, you know, different. I've got DJ friends, I have producer friends, recording artist friends, painter friends that are all video gamers and that all also stream in real time. I think that one of the main things that we talk about here, and what I love to talk about where gaming is concerned, why I'm so proud of it, is the social aspect. I've had some of my most revelatory conversations not streaming, playing Call of Duty at 2 a.m. with a handful of buddies of mine after I got off set. You know what I mean? Like that, there was a world of mine, like for a while, this was years ago, God, this was probably, I don't know, we're creeping up on probably 10 years or so ago. I worked on an ABC Family show called Secret Life of the American Teenager. My life at this point, Ken, was wake up, go to set, film all day, and then go home, not go out, not go hang with friends. I had a raid that night. I was an officer in my guild in World of Warcraft. But what's cool about this, it's the different shapes and sizes and colors and orientations of different people that I met from all across the board. I think that unification is the thing. That gaming is, I mean, it's a language that a lot of people speak. It's a language that most people speak, to be frank. We can talk about the numbers. There were records that were broken back in 2013, 2015, 2016, 17, and 18, and we're continuing to do so every day. But I think the one thing that continues to make gaming so great and so beautiful that a lot of different content creators like myself can think about as we move forward generating art. I'm writing a musical right now. One of the main things about this musical that I'm writing about, it's a character. There's a character in this musical that doesn't have a whole lot around this person, but he is a gamer. And this guy, and this is a very small part of the story, but I think that in the grand scheme of things, much like Evan Hansen, everybody wants the place to fit in. Everybody wants to be able to call something of theirs home. Their friends, they want a sense of belonging, right? We're humans, and by nature, we all yearn for community, first of all, and we need to be needed somewhere. I could see a handful of people in here that have friends that they have met in real life because they're all mutual fans of the content that I create and things that I do, that all got together and came to see Dear Evan Hansen. You know, and I think that there's all, that's what I'm saying. Like there's a much broader conversation we could talk about where building community is concerned and how this will affect, like I'm a millennial. You know, we have an interesting, I didn't grow up with high speed. I mean, I had dial up as a kid. You know, I look forward to going home and watching TRL after school. Like there's a weird kind of gap in there where my little brother is 7 years younger than I, and he's a Zoomer, and it's a totally different, he had a completely different childhood than I did, where technology and social media and social interaction are all concerned that I think, you know, is constantly evolving. And I think that Twitch right now is something that brings a lot of people together. I have fans in my chat every day that range from 8, 9, 10 years old to early mid 50s that, I mean, a lot of them don't even play video games, but they like to watch them and they like to feel a sense of community, be able to connect with people.
I'll be there tomorrow. Every day.
Say that again.
You should.
I will be there tomorrow. There's
you
no
should.
Question.
You should. 7 a.m. PST.
I love it. And there's an argument to be made that gamers, because of you play and connect with people all over the world electronically, were more prepared for this pandemic.
1,000%. 1,000%. So it's funny. We have a text thread at Dear Bonanza. We have all of the cast. And the way that we found out the Broadway was shut down was a play. I'm sure you saw this infamous Playbill article that came out just right then and there. There was no warning. It was just, hey, Broadway shut down tonight. None of us knew that that Wednesday night show was going to be our last for however long. And it was a beautiful show. Thank God. It was, we got to kind of, you know, begin our hiatus after a really great show. The whole cast was on that night. It felt really great. We sent this article all around our text thread. 15 minutes later, we were on a massive call with the production company, basically, just saying, hey, if you're not based in New York and you want to travel, you want to go home, now's the time. Exactly. So I have a place on the West Side, and home for me is LA. This is my house. This is my castle. This is my favorite place. And I don't get to be here as much as I would probably like to be here. I do kind of wish that Broadway was in Los Angeles, but yeah, I digress. I immediately called my team immediately. One thing that you'll know very quickly about me just from having a conversation is that I love my work. I love all of the different things that I do. I wear a lot of hats. I'm very grateful for that. But the one thing that really makes me tick and keeps me happy is working. I like to work. That's the thing that I look forward to doing every day, whatever that is. If it's producing a film, if it's writing a song, if it's, you know, in a rehearsal space at New 42, I love the work, and that for me now and has been for the last 2 years is gaming and creating content every day and streaming. And so I immediately called my team. I said, we need to figure out what my daily life is going to look like for this period. I have 5 films I'm producing over the next year and a half that are all just quiet right now. You know, there's not a lot that we can do. We're in writer's rooms and looking at casting tapes and that kind of thing, but we can't talk about production yet. I had an associate in Vancouver location scouting, had to fly them home. Like, there's all sorts of different things that were bubbling and whatnot that all just went silent. And that can be very freaky. That can be very scary for a lot of people. And the one thing I actually was just telling my community about this, I did a very rare Friday night stream this past Friday, and had a bit of an emotional moment. It was a Twitch Sings thing, which they had very much convinced me to do. Daily, I'll have people come in my chat and say, sing for us, Jordan, sing. And I'm like, I'm not a dancing monkey. If you stay here for 3 minutes, I assure you that I will burst into song at some point in time. And I basically gave them incentive. I was like, listen, if we reach this sub count, this subscriber goal, I'll do a Twitch sing stream for you guys. 2 hours, I'll pour some drinks. I invite you, if you are of age, to do the same. This will be like karaoke. We'll have a great time. Somebody donated, and basically what I did for this night is, if you donated $100, you could request the song. I would sing the song, put all of that towards COVID-19 relief. All that's going to the Broadway CARES Act, which fights AIDS, COVID-19 relief fund. And there's somebody that requested Words Fail. This is the first time. I'm not sure if you've seen the show. So it was the first time.
I did work, but no one's going to give me $100 for that.
Well, it was the first time, Kim, that I sang the song since the show closed. And it was a very full circle moment for me that really, I'm going to get emotional talking about it now. It was a really full circle moment for me where, I mean, that's obviously, if you've seen the show in chat, guys, if you, anybody that's watching right now, you know what a behemoth this song is and how difficult it can be. I have a very emotional Evan. He's very in touch with the floodgates, if you will. There's a lot of snotting and sobbing and screaming and whatnot that happens. And it's a behemoth of a song that happens at the end of the show. And there's a lot of catharsis there, obviously, because you're human and you're going to experience that. I had not done it. I had not sang the song. I hadn't even hummed the tune since all of this happened. Mm-hmm. And right then and there, in this magical moment, I had 5,000 people, gamers, non-gamers, theater fans, music fans of mine that had not heard the song before, all there to experience this moment together. And I told them, I said, this is very full circle for me. I have to learn how to land the plane. I'm very long-winded, I hear, I've been told. But the first thing that I knew that I could turn to in a time where there's a lot of fear and a lot of unknown is my community, my Twitch family, and the people that are there every day. And that's that demo, you know, this is me kind of retelling the story. I was like, that's you guys. And it was a really beautiful moment. It was a really beautiful moment that it really shed light on how cool all of these bridges being gapped are and how that was happening in real time in that moment. We should probably move to the next thing, because I'll start to cry.
You bring up I'm gonna really try to get you. This is gonna be my Barbara Walters moment that I'm gonna try to get.
I love it. Bring it on.
Lorelei Soper asks, along these lines, that Dear Evan Hansen is a very emotional role. Did you do anything to mentally prepare to play him? And of course, she throws in a love you, Jordan.
Much love to you, Lorelei. I appreciate that. It's a great question. Ken, I have my own relationship with anxiety and depression. I am a mental health advocate, and I have a therapist, incredible man that I adore and trust wholeheartedly. And you know, I think that even if you feel like you are the best, you know, the most sound mind and spirit, and you're happy, it's good to have I call them brain mechanics. You know, we go to the gym. We go out of our way to eat well and eat healthily and get good rest, get good sleep. You know, we take our car to the shop. We take our guitars to get tuned up. We fix cracks in windshields and we fix smudges on walls, but we don't speak to someone who is professional that has the ability to help us sort through things that we don't know are broken, that we don't know that, you know, need to be touched on. And then, you know, oftentimes I find that all of a sudden it piles up and then that you reach kind of a tipping point. And I experienced that. I experienced depression. Oddly enough, last fall, I was in a moment in my life where everything was going very well on paper. Everything was great. I was in a really good space. But I wasn't, and I didn't know why. And, you know, immediately I was like, I need therapy. I need to be able to talk this out with somebody, you know, do the thing. And, the very first thing that he said to me was, if I can do anything at all, it's going to be to help you figure out how to have a good relationship with depression and anxiety, because these are things that you will deal with and you will constantly, you know, have to deal with. But if you can figure out how to have a friendship with them, know how you function, you can figure out how they work where you are concerned, then they won't be so daunting and it won't be so terrifying. And he said, frankly, you as an artist be able to use that. And boy, have I.
And then the phone ring. Would you like
them? Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, that's amazing. So speaking along that, this is a time where a lot of people, whether they've experienced it before or not, a lot of people are having depressed thoughts or feeling anxious during this time. You obviously have managed, you like, I need to work. What am I going to do? What does my day look like? Right. Is the answer trying to keep busy? Like, what tips do you have for all the folks watching out now to stay positive and come out on the other side of this okay?
That's a great question. I think that varies for people. I'm not sure that the answer always is to keep busy. I think that can oftentimes, you know, suppress emotions and maybe even medicate them, you know, by keeping yourself distracted. I think that there's kind of a fine balance in there. Finding balance for me was a big part of it. Anybody that knows me knows very well, I am a workaholic. I love to work. I enjoy the work. You know, my fiance knows this, my family knows this, my good friends know this. I would even say a good chunk of my fans that have even gone out of their way to read, you know, read articles or interviews or whatever. That's one of the things that I talk about constantly is the fact that I do love the work that I do, and I'm very grateful to have the work that I do. But balance is everything. Balance is key. I think that if I could give a tip, it would just be to spend some time with yourself, figure out what makes you happy. For me, I know that that's work. If I did it all the time, then I think that would become the new norm, and I would probably burn out on it. So I have to separate some things. You know, I have obviously I stream every day. I'm writing music a lot. You know, there's different phone calls, there's different interviews, there's different opportunities like this to be able to sit down and talk about these kinds of things, talk about the state that we're in currently. But some of the best moments that I have, honestly, are just sitting on the couch with Ellie, my fiance, my dog, and we're going through all the Marvel movies right now, you know? My immediate family lives 15 minutes from me, and they're part of our quarantine cell, if you will. They'll come over, play poker, you know? It's just that, I think it's that stay-at-home mentality that is very important. I think especially right now, you were just talking about it a little while ago, as things are starting to ease up, we have to be extra careful. And I know that there are a lot of people, much like myself, there are things that I miss. I miss going to the bar with a buddy. I miss going to the movie theater. I miss, you know, being able to go to a friend's house and play games and watch films and go to shows. I miss Broadway. I miss that work. I miss putting on that blue polo every night. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, should we rush into the thing, you know, and at what cost? I think that that's the, I think that's the really tricky thing. Pulling the parachute too early is, or too late, you know, neither of those things will pan out very well for us as a society. But I do think that right now, as we lean into the unknown and start to try to move away from the fear of everything, quote unquote, it's important to really take advantage of this time that you have with yourself and with people that you're around. If it's your partner, if, you know, if you're parents of kids, if you're the kids with parents, whatever the case may be, I'm sure everyone's getting sick of each other and would love nothing more than to be able to hop in the car and go to the beach. But, you know, that will come with time. Right now is a really beautiful opportunity for not only the earth to take a big inhale and exhale, but for us as humanity to do the same thing, recognize the things that we miss, really cherish them when we get them back. And in the meantime, just take time, reflect, figure out what makes you tick, figure out what makes you happy. If that's keeping busy, be busy, keep yourself busy, do the thing, find projects. You know, I'm sure we all saw that meme of here's all the things that you don't need to do, you know, to overwhelm yourself during quarantine. But if some of those things on that list apply to you, then freaking to do them. Absolutely. Go out of your way, do the thing, but find balance, Don't burn yourself out too much. Read a book, watch a movie. Go for a walk, wear a mask, go for a walk.
Take a video about it and submit it.
A video about it and submit it. Yeah. Start your commercial production career.
I love it. So you wear all these hats, you do all these things, and obviously you do so many things unbelievably well, which is what has always amazed me, from music career, television career, theater, gamer, producing movies. So this is Christopher Julian. It's not my question, but it's amazing. What do you hope to be doing 20 years from now? And I'll add my own little Kenism on that. If you could only pick one of these things to do, only one, which one would it be?
Of the things that I'm currently doing, or the thing things that I'm currently doing?
That you're like, you know what? Someday I'm going to become a grandmaster chess player. That's going to be fun. And I believe you could do it.
That's great. I appreciate that. I'll start with the Kenism, if you don't mind. It's really difficult for me to answer this question. The way that I've navigated my career, and I have an incredible team, it really does take a village. And if I didn't have these people in my life, most of them are women, actually, I could say, you know, all these strong women and some men in my life that helped me kind of navigate the ship, I wouldn't function. I don't know where I would be. So I'm very grateful for that. I think that I have a fear of having to pick one thing over the other. So I don't, and because I don't need to do that, because I've never needed to do that, I've managed to figure out how to continue putting hats on and, you know, trying to do them all to the best of my ability and with the most heart and soul that I can possibly muster. I don't necessarily know that I would ever want to pick one. I think even hypothetically, Ken, it's a hard question to answer. I don't know that I could. I think that the constant shifting of my life is one of the things that keeps me so happy in all of it. You know, it's one of the things that keeps me so energized. You know, if I'm filming a movie somewhere, I tend to really miss making music. When I'm in the process of making music constantly, I really miss being in a rehearsal space and being on stage somewhere. When I'm doing that, I can't wait to stream the next morning. It all kind of goes together. I guess the roundabout way of answering your question, as well as, was it Christopher? 20 years from now, the dictation of time, I think, is the main goal for me. I'm not a remarkably complicated person. I'll show you one of my vices is this this barrel right here. I've got some great whiskey.
Nice. There.
It's one of my vices. I love that. I don't need a lot more in my life than my people, my family, my friends, the ability to create, the ability to do, and whiskey and wine. I say all of that to say, my main goal in my life is to be an excellent father. I want to be a father. I can't wait to have a family. Ellie and I, we met when we were kids. We were 9 and 13 years old. We grew up as friends.
Oh my.
Yeah. We were kids when we met in Birmingham, Alabama. We were part of the theater conservatory there. Oh, and, we met out there.
Incredible.
Yeah. So grew up friends
already, like, 8 times longer than most marriages.
That's yeah, right. It's interesting. I think that having the over decade long friendship before we started dating is what allows our relationship to be so healthy and accessible. And it's a really beautiful thing. But we both very much look forward to having a chaotic household full of a bunch of kids just running around and doing the thing, and to support them and all of their dreams and guide and lead and love and all of that. I think that's the main goal of my life. And you know, the way that I really want to be able to take care of all of that. And again, like I'm from the South, she's from the South. That's why we're young, and we want to start young because we want a bunch. We want to be able to have as much energy as we possibly can so that we can also be young, energized grandparents one day. You know, we're kind of very big picture oriented people. I think that the dictation of time is the thing that I'm really working so hard towards right now. It's why I do all of the things pretty much simultaneously, so that one day we can live the life that we want to live, have the capability of being able, like for me personally, have the capability of being able to say, okay, listen, I'm going to have my name on this project, this project, this project. I'm going to actually be on the ground for this one, but I'm going to take this break so I can go home because that's when my daughter's recital is. And then, you know, be able to just kind of run my production company out of LA and really only do the things that I absolutely am dying to do. I think that's the thing that I'm really working towards right now.
Well, the guy in his 40s who waited until I was 45 to have a kid, let me tell you something. Yeah, if you want a bunch of them, have them early. Because like, I fall asleep every night. My wife like yells at me for falling asleep on the couch because I'm just all passed out chasing that little one around.
So funny! I love that. I'm already a morning person. I'm up at the crack of dawn and I'm looking at bed at around 8:30. So I think that as long as I can keep that kind of, it's different on Broadway, obviously. You know, I'm not even getting home until 11:30 sometimes. But you know, we adapt. That's what we do as humans, right?
Well, I wear a bunch of hats myself, and I will tell you, my shrink said to me years ago, for like, because so many people were telling me, like, focus on one thing, focus on one thing. And so I was like, maybe I should focus. Everyone's told me to focus. And she said, you know, like, you're always going to be one of those people that does many things, and that's okay. And obviously, it's working very, very well for you. Yeah. So, yeah, don't listen to my stupid question. It was a trick question. You're supposed to say, I'm not doing settling on one thing, you idiot.
What the hell, man? I ain't picking one thing, never, no how.
I love it. Well, listen, I can't thank you for spending all this time with us tonight. You're on the West Coast, so it's not your bedtime yet. But
No, true. It's Manhattan o'clock for me.
Yeah. Well, I'm so thankful for you being here. I will see you on Twitch. I'm going to sign up for this
thing. Please do.
I got to check this out. And thank you so much just for your energy, your positivity, for inspiring all these people and all of us tonight, and for being here. It means the world. And I look forward to being back on Broadway soon.
Thank you, Ken.
Thanks again for listening to this very special episode of the Producer's Perspective podcast live from the pandemic. If you enjoyed tonight's episode, do us a favor and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And hey, while you're at it, leave us a big standing ovation review, will you? And check out my Facebook page at facebook.com/KenDavenport for more live stream interviews just like this one. Except on the Facebook page, you can actually see our faces. So check it out at facebook.com/KenDavenport. We'll see you there.
We're getting the band back together.
We're getting the boy to win.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.